No, no, no. What's the Lord tell him? This is such a powerful verse, right? Pray to the Lord on its behalf, right? Pray to the Lord. He says, the guy said, don't pray for yourself, because we all do that. He says, forget about you and pray for the situation I'm sending you into, right? Pray for that situation. You don't want to be in it, right? I don't want to be in, they don't want to be in Babylon. Babylon is a pagan culture back then, right? It's offensive to them. It's sinful. It's all these things, right? How many of y'all ever been in a situation you don't really want to be in? How many of y'all in one right now? Not church. I mean, that's, y'all supposed to be here. That's, right? But you know what I'm saying, church? We get in stuff at work. We got family issues, whatever is going on. And God's saying to us, look, get into that thing and stop focusing on you and start trying to be a blessing in that place. Right? Can you imagine if we would shift that and just how much things would start changing? Yeah? The main concept in this series, and I really feel as we turn into 2020, God's really working on me with some stuff, but the main concept in this series is that God is sending us out into a system that is broken. All right, what's the thing I said a few weeks ago? God doesn't want to destroy Babylonians, he wants to destroy Babylon. Right, we're going to talk about Egypt today a little bit with Joseph, because that's where he was stuck. Right, he don't want to be there either, but he's stuck in Egypt. Same thing, it's a system, right? But God's saying, look, instead of you being afraid of the system, I mean, y'all hear, you know, like Chicken Little, right? That's kind of, we got too many Chicken Little folks in the church today. Like, every time something's going wrong, we're freaking out, like, what's going on? But God's saying, look, man, what did I put in you? Either I'm in you or I'm not. Either he who's in you is greater than he who's in the world, or he's not, right? Either no weapon formed against you will prosper, or there's something the devil's going to figure out and he's going to take us out. That's just where I'm at. Literally, the Lord said to me this week, do you believe that? Do you believe that no weapon formed against you will prosper? Yes or no? I was like, I think so. You ever have those questions when God asks you and you already know what the answer is, but you don't want to say it because you're kind of embarrassed, like I should know better by now, right? You know, that makes sense? So you understand, church, God's sending us out. He's saying it's time to get out. Get into this broken system. Find people that are broken, hopeless, discouraged, depressed, and say, look, you don't have to stay there. Should have got one amen. Yeah, all right. So we're going to recap Joseph's story. So it starts in Genesis 37. We're not going there. Genesis 37, right to the end of the book of Genesis, is all about Joseph. But we're going to recap like half of it really fast and then get in to make a couple of points here. Amen? So Joseph, we all know this, but again, some of us maybe don't know it. So we're gonna go through. Joseph was the second youngest of 12 sons born to Jacob. Jacob's other name is what, church? Israel, right? Here's the kicker, though. I just thought about this week. Jacob had four wives, right? So he's got 12 sons. He's got a whole bunch of daughters. We don't know how many daughters he's got. He's got 12 sons, but 12 sons through four different wives, right? So think about this. Like, these all are not brothers. They're like half brothers. Some of them are brothers. Some of them are half brothers, right? It's like literally like brothers from another mother, all in this family, right? So what happens is Joseph is the second youngest, right, out of 12. And the Bible tells us that Jacob, his dad, liked Joseph. He loved Joseph more than all the other brothers, right? And if we know the story, it says that Jacob makes it very obvious that Joseph is his favorite. So how many of y'all have got more than one kid at home or had more than one kid at home, right? No matter what you do as a parent, sometimes you're going to hear it, right? You like that one better than you like me, right? My kids do it, and I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious. Just because it's their birthday, I didn't buy you something on their birthday, you think I like them better? Don't matter what you do, right? But church, as a parent, we try to keep it pretty even, right? We try to, like, work it out. Sometimes I tell my kids, you know what? There's an F word that's not in the Bible. It's called fair. Dad, it's not fair. You're right, it's not. It's life. It's different. Amen, church? All right. So, but Jacob, He loves Joseph more. He makes him this very colored coat, right? This tunic that's all this fancy tunic. And if you really read the story, I think Joseph is kind of arrogant about this whole situation, right? I mean, he's kind of like, I'm the favorite, you know. He's eating it up. You know what I'm saying, church? Then if we know the story right, he has two dreams. The first dream is that he's out and all these sheaves, right? They're out in the field, 12 sheaves, one is each brother, and his sheaf stands up and all the other brothers' sheaves bow down to him. And he goes and tells his brothers, who already don't like him, hey, I had this dream, guys. God gave me this dream. It's really great. You guys are all gonna bow down and worship me. Look. What did he eat for breakfast, man? Because this guy's off the rails, right? They're like, and the Bible says that they hated him even more, right? Then God gives them a second dream. And the second dream, we know this, is that the sun and the moon and 11 stars all come and they bow down to him. And so Joseph's like, man, I told him that first dream, it worked out so good. I'm going to tell him the second one too, right? So he goes and he gathers his brothers together and his mom and his dad. And he's like, guess what, everybody? I got a second dream from God. And not only are you guys going to bow down, but guess what, mom and dad? You're going to bow down and worship me too. His dad's like, bro. No, that's not going to happen, right? And again, if we think of that culture, like even in our culture, if we had our kids tell that to us, we'd be like, you're grounded, right? Forever. All right, but in that culture, to disrespect your father like that was like awful. I mean, that was like, you couldn't do anything worse than that, right? So what happens then is that the brothers go out in the field. Jacob sends Joseph out to find his brothers. They decide that they're going to betray him, right? And they sell him to some traders. The traders bring him down to Egypt and sell him to this guy named Potiphar. And Potiphar is basically the head of the secret service for the Pharaoh. That's what the Bible calls him, the captain of the bodyguard, right? So it's his job to protect the Pharaoh. So he's like, right, y'all tracking with me? Good. So we know the story that happens there. The Bible says that God blesses Joseph while he's in Potiphar's house, and he becomes successful. Potiphar puts him in charge of everything. So kind of this is the concept. Think about somebody who is just like stupid wealthy. Like I won't even say, I was going to say one name that somebody might get mad. I won't say that name. The president. But somebody like that, right, that has just got stupid amounts of money, right? This is not some guy that's got like a little 1,000-square-foot ranch and you're like mowing his grass, right? This is somebody who's got like just like house after house after house and cars. And what Joseph has been promoted to is a position where he is literally in charge of this guy's entire empire, right? He can handle this guy's money. He can handle his Ferraris. He can handle his yachts. He takes care of the pool, right? This guy is running everything that belongs to Potiphar. The Bible says that Potiphar did not concern himself with anything under Joseph's charge except what he was going to eat. That's it. Right? So Potiphar is a wealthy man, and Joseph is actually kind of living it up right now. It ain't that bad yet. Right? But then we know the story. Potiphar's wife decides she likes Joseph. She tries going after him. He refuses her multiple times, right? And then finally she gets fed up and she says that he came after her, tells her husband, and her husband flips out, throws Joseph in prison, right? So now we find Joseph in prison. Here's where we're going to pick it up in chapter 39. And Joseph is in prison and he's done nothing wrong. Everybody say he's done nothing wrong. Chapter 39, verse 19. Now when his master, who's Potiphar, heard the words of his wife, which she spoke to him, saying, this is what your slave did to me, his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the jail. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. The chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Amen. Lord, we ask that as we continue here this morning, you just open our hearts. Let us see some of these truths in here. Help us to understand it, what it means to us today, Lord, not just a story from 4,000 years ago or whatever it is, Lord. We want to hear something that helps us tomorrow morning when we go out into our Egypt. In Jesus' name, amen. So think about this, church, right? If the Lord was with Joseph, why did he allow Joseph to get thrown into prison in the first place? How many of y'all think that's a raw deal? Like, so we've been talking quite a bit on and off about if God can do anything he wants, which we all know that he can, right? Without even trying harder, God can do literally whatever he wants. So if the Lord can do anything that he wants to do, and he's watching Joseph, who is doing everything right, right? He's honoring this guy that he works for. He's resisting the woman that's coming after him. He's doing all these things, right? Joseph is just being the man, right? He is doing everything right. And then he gets lied about and gets thrown in prison, and God's watching the whole thing and does nothing. So what we've got to think about at that point is, like, either God somehow fell asleep here, right? Or it's part of the plan, right? Part of the plan. You're there for a reason. Come on, just say that with me. You guys are quiet this morning, man. Come on, say it with me. You're there for a reason. You're there for a reason, right? It's not just a random chance. It's not a random circumstance. You're there for a reason, right? Why did God let this happen? Maybe you're there for a reason, right? That makes sense? Here's the truth, everybody. Sometimes you can do everything right and still end up in prison. I'll let that one settle. Man, come on, let's raise your hand. We're all family here. How many of y'all been in a situation you knew you did everything right and it still blew up right in your face? Right? Been there, bought the t-shirt, got the Blu-ray DVD combo pack, right? Man, I visited that destination a few times. Can I get amen? Sometimes you do stupid stuff. You know, Peter says, sometimes if you do something stupid, you deserve what you get. But sometimes you can do everything right. But what you get is, like, you did something stupid, right? See, I think if we're mature enough, we could say, okay, well, I can see where I screwed up. I can see where I kind of contributed to this outcome. But it's hard, man, when you know, when you search your heart and you backtrack and you say, man, I really didn't do anything wrong, and I still got this outcome that's just awful. Do you understand what I'm saying, right? Potiphar, church, think about this. Potiphar has got the power. He's the head of the secret service. Potiphar could throw Joseph in prison and throw the key away. You're never coming out, bro. Could you imagine, right? I mean, we hear stories about people getting wrongfully imprisoned in America. Imagine sitting in a jail cell for 20 years and you didn't do it. Right? How do we grind that out, man? How do we get through that and say, how do I? You understand what I'm saying, right? We've got to get over this lie in the church today that if I'm walking with God and doing the right thing before him, that everything's going to go the way I want it to go. I'm never going to have a problem. I'm never going to suffer. I'm never going to go through a confusing season. Anybody been in a confusing season? You know what religious folks say? Well, brother, God doesn't author confusion. Yeah, I didn't say authored. I just said I'm in one. Right? Come on, y'all. What? You're like, what is going on? If we can wrap our heads around this truth that God is fully active in our lives, he's a perfect father, he's on task 24/7, he's actively directing my life and guiding me on this path, then I must accept the fact that if something comes my direction that doesn't look good, maybe it's part of the plan. Maybe, say it with me, everybody, maybe it's part of the plan. All right, here's a challenge for you guys. Wrote this down early this morning. Can you get promoted in your prison? That's what happened to Joseph. He got thrown in prison. God's with him. He gets promoted in prison. To the point where now the chief jailer, he's just taking a nap. He's out playing golf. We don't know what he's doing. Because he's letting Joseph run the whole place. Right? Joseph gets into this situation where he's like, you know what, man, I'm here. I don't want to be here. I don't even know how I got here. But I know God's with me. Right? So I can, like we've been preaching for weeks now, I can sit there and pray about myself and be miserable and hide in a corner and cry about it. Or I can say, okay, I'm here and I'm going to do something while I'm here. Right? I'm going to make the best out of this situation by God's grace. Right? Can you see that even though you're not where you want to be, even though circumstances aren't what you thought they'd be, even though you're getting a raw deal, can you see that the Lord is with you? And he's extending kindness to you. Church, that's what it says in there. He's in prison and God's extending kindness. You're like, bro, kindness would have been great like 5 minutes ago before I got thrown in prison. That kindness would have been sweet. Right? Like you showed up right before they put the handcuffs on me. That'd have been better. Right? But it's like click, Joseph gets the handcuffs, and the guy's like, okay, I'm gonna be kind to you now. What? Crazy. What if we stopped waiting to be a blessing? Or is it we need to stop waiting to be a blessing until we get blessed, right? It's think about how we do it. Like, well, okay, if this circumstance changes, then I'll do this. Right? If this changes, I'll do this. If this changes, I'll do this. If this situation changes, I'll do this. But God's saying, no. You need to change. And then I'm going to release my grace through you to change what you're in. Right? To read the Bible, church, that is what goes on, right? God says, I will give you the ability to go into this broken system and fix it. Right? We think about last week, we talked about Jesus sending us out as what? Sheep among wolves, right? He says to be harmless, shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves, right? The word shrewd right there means practically wise. I finished up last Sunday's sermon about that. Practically wise. It means that God is going to give us wisdom that applies to the world, right? He's going to equip us not to be like so spiritual that everybody's like, dude, you're worthless, man. All right, just go home because everything's a demon. You got to pray about everything. You know what? When we get down to next week, we'll get down to the story where Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream, right? And he interprets the dream, which he says only God interprets dreams, right? But then the advice that Joseph gives, I'm getting ahead of myself. The Bible doesn't say God gave him that advice. Joseph just gives it to him, right? Almost like it's just automatically flowing out of the guy because he knows the Lord, right? Like this wisdom just comes out. Can I get amen, church? You know what I'm saying, right? God sometimes wants to give us the wisdom. No one else can figure out what's going on at work. No one else can figure out what's going on at school. No one else can figure out what's going on. Why is this family messed up? Why is this going on? But God gives you practical wisdom to say, look, here's how we've got to fix this situation, right? I had these old broke down jet skis. You remember those old jet skis that were, they floated and ran. That was about it. They were ugly, ugliest jet skis on the whole lake. One year, one of them wouldn't start. You put this little key in and it goes beep, beep. Like that means it's good. But if it gives you a different beep, it's broken. I don't know nothing. I can take stuff apart. I put it back together. There's extra pieces every time, pretty much. But literally, I was like just standing there going, okay, I'm not going to take this to the shop because it's going to cost me a ton of money. And literally, like, this picture pops into my head, and it was, like, I just knew it. This is what's wrong with this jet ski. I've never even taught, I ride them around. I don't know anything about a jet ski. But I saw a picture in my head, just boom, like this. This is what's wrong with this jet ski. So I start taking the whole thing all apart, like, inside of it, get all the way, take it all apart. Then I thought I should have taken a picture of what it looked like so I could put it back together. I didn't do that. I took the other one apart and swapped these two parts out, and the other one, the one that wouldn't start, started right up and ran. Church, I didn't think about that. I didn't like study it. I didn't Google it. God gave me some practical wisdom to address a situation in my life. So if he's going to do that for a jet ski, which he doesn't really care about, because he cares about me, because I'm his son. Right? What dad wouldn't tell his son how to fix it? You understand what I'm saying? So God is saying, look, man, I'm going to be with you. Just don't worry about wherever you're at. Look to me and I'm going to help you. Amen? After this, Joseph met these two royal officials who'd been thrown into the same prison. Now remember, God was with him and extending kindness to him in the prison, right? These two men each had a dream on the same night, and they didn't know what the dreams meant. Genesis 40, verse 1. We're going to read a little bit here. You guys ready? Verse 1. Then it came about, after these things, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was furious with his two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. So he put them in confinement in the house of the captain of the bodyguard. In the jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. The captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them, and they were in confinement for some time. Church, let's pause right here. Who is the captain of the bodyguard? What's his name? It's Potiphar. He serves in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, whose name is Potiphar. Potiphar throws him into prison. Well, what is Potiphar? Potiphar's the captain of the bodyguard. He's this chief jailer guy. Do you understand what I'm saying, right? This is Potiphar realizes that even though Joseph betrayed me, he thinks Joseph betrayed me. He says, I know that that God's favor is on this guy, right? So Potiphar doesn't just take Joseph and say, that's it, man. I don't want to see you again. He's like, I know that God's doing something in this guy's life. So even though he can't be here anymore, I'm still going to keep him close enough to me where I'm still going to get something from what God's doing in this guy's life. You see it, church? Right? So Joseph gets thrown into this prison it's Potiphar's prison, and he's sitting in there for we don't know how long. These two guys they make the Pharaoh mad. They get thrown into the same prison that Joseph's in. Amen? What we've got to catch here is he's saying, you know what? Get over yourself. Right? Do you see this? Joseph gets put into prison for no logical reason at all. Done nothing wrong. Then these two officials of Pharaoh get thrown into prison too, in the same place Joseph in prison. Church, maybe you're in what you're in because someone else is about to get thrown in it with you, and they don't know how to get out. Just maybe you're in whatever you're in because someone else is about to fall in it. If you read this story, it says these two men were dejected because they had these dreams. They've lost their position. They have these dreams. They don't know what the dreams mean. Joseph says, God will interpret, right? The cupbearer, the dream is God, the Pharaoh's going to restore you, right? Pharaoh's going to restore you. 3 days from now, Pharaoh's going to restore you, right? This is the dream. So this is where Joseph's at, right? We're going to make a point out of this in a minute. Hang on. Verse 5, then the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the jail, both had a dream the same night, each man with his own dream and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning and observed them, behold, they were dejected. He asked Pharaoh's officials who were with him in confinement in his master's house, why are your faces so sad today? Then they said to him, we've had a dream, and there is no one to interpret it. Then Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please. So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph, and he said to him, in my dream, behold, there was a vine in front of me. And on the vine there were three branches, and it was budding. Its blossoms came out, and its clusters produced ripe grapes. Now Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes and squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Then Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Within three more days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you will put Pharaoh's cup into his hand according to your former custom when you were his cupbearer. Only keep in mind when it goes well with you, and please do me a kindness by mentioning me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. Notice he doesn't say prison. For I was in fact kidnapped from the land of the Hebrews, and even here, I've done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon. Right, I've done nothing that they should have put me into the dungeon. Right? So you know what? I'm just looking at the time. We're going to keep going. I was going to stop right here. We're going to keep going. I thought you guys would be a little bit more shouty today, right? I was going to preach a little harder. But we're going to keep moving, right? Maybe we'll get it all done today. So what happens if we know this, that he interprets the baker's dream, baker's like, hey, this is great, man. If you're getting restored, maybe my dream means the same thing. But Joseph interprets his dream, and he says, nope, you're a dead man. Pharaoh's going to kill you, bro. He's like, what? All right. So 3 days goes by, the cupbearer gets taken out, he gets restored, the baker gets taken out, the Pharaoh kills him. But the Bible says that the cupbearer forgets about Joseph for 2 years. Two more years, right? Joseph's thinking, man, this is my way out of this thing. This is going to be awesome. Everything else, right, church? So, but then what happens is Pharaoh ends up having a dream, and he has this dream, and in two different dreams, the first dream is he sees seven fat cows, and then seven skinny cows rise up out of the Nile River, right? And they eat up these fat cows, and he wakes up, and he's shaken, right? And then he falls back asleep, and he has a second dream, and there's a stalk of corn with seven fat ears on it, and then another stalk rises up, and it's burned up and nasty, and this nasty corn eats up the fat corn, right? And he wakes up again, and he's troubled, and he goes to all of his magicians and all of his sorcerers and all these people, and nobody can tell him what the dream means. And there's where the cupbearer says, wait a second, I remember this Hebrew kid in jail, and he interpreted my dream. And so he goes to the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh brings him up, and Joseph says, look, interpretations belong to God. He's still pointing to God after all that he's been through, right? Interpretations belong to God. And so he interprets this dream, and he says, look, you're going to have 7 years of abundance followed by 7 years of famine, and the famine that comes is going to eat up all of the abundance, right? And so Pharaoh says, we need to find someone who is wise enough to tell us what to do. And so they look at Joseph, look, if you're the only one that can interpret this dream, you must be the only one who's wise enough to tell us what to do. So that's where he says, look, here's what you got to do. Take 20% of everything that comes in. Build storehouses in every city. Store this stuff, right? Because what's going to happen is this famine is going to hit. We're going to have stuff and everybody else won't. We're going to be the ones that are going to make some money off this thing. We're going to be great, right? So the Bible says that Pharaoh puts Joseph into the second in command in all of Egypt, church. Second in command. In all of Egypt. Pharaoh literally says this at one point. He says, no one will lift a foot without asking you permission. What? So this is this place that Joseph does not want to be. But he just keeps keeping his eyes on Jesus, man. Keeps his eyes on the Lord and says, look, I don't want to be here, but I'm going to make the best out of it. I know God's going to come through, right? In the Bible, church, we know this, that he ends up getting married, right? And he has two sons. The sons are named what? Ephraim and Manasseh. What do those names mean? You guys, we've talked about this a lot. One is what? The Lord has made me forget the trouble of my father's house. Number two, the Lord is what made me fruitful, what? In my land of affliction, right? Not delivered me out of it, right? He's made me fruitful right in it, right? This is what does he say to Babylon in Jeremiah? Get into Babylon. Be fruitful in that place, man. Don't wait till I deliver you from it to be fruitful. Be fruitful right in it. Get in there, man. Be strong. Be who I've called you to be. Rise up, O son of mine, right? This is what God's calling us to do, right? So Joseph, at this point, church, I'm convinced that Joseph's forgotten this dream, right? He's like, he's just given up. This dream's never going to happen. This is just where I'm at. I'm going to make the best out of it. The famine hits, and his brothers come down. They don't recognize him, church, because he's 17 years old when they sell him. At this point, he's in his early 30s. It's been 15 years since he's seen his brothers. They come down because they're starving in this famine, right? And but these are the brothers that betrayed him, right? He is the most powerful man in Egypt besides Pharaoh. He said, one word from Joseph, these guys are dead. Right? One word. They don't even ask why. All he's got to say is, kill them. No questions asked. Dead. But we know the story that Joseph, he kind of plays it a little bit. He doesn't tell them who he is. He knows them. They don't recognize him. He sends them out. He hides some money in their sack. They're like, oh, no, what happens? They come back a couple times or whatever. Finally, when Joseph reveals himself, the Bible says he would go away and he would weep in his chamber because He loves his brothers. These brothers that cost him 15 years of pain and suffering. But I tell you, when he had those two sons, church, I know in my heart is what Joseph, that's right there. I said, I've forgiven my brothers. I've forgiven this betrayal. I'm letting it go, right? God has blessed me right here. I'm going to let go of this thing, right? And so when he finally reveals himself, his brothers are scared. Uh-oh. This dude's still alive, and he's, right? But you know what Joseph says, church? I think many of us know this story, but Joseph, can I borrow a Bible? Somebody got a Bible I can borrow real quick? D, you got one, girl. We got too many digital Bibles nowadays. Kaz, you're always good for a, you're an old guy. Thank you, bro. There you go. Look at this, church. Go over to 40, hang on. Go over to 40, let's go to 46, I think is where we got to go here. 45. Let's go to 45. We're just going to read a little bit, and we'll be wrapped up in a few minutes. Amen. Verse four, chapter 45, verse 1, then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried. He cried out, have everyone go out for me. So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, please come closer to me. And they came closer, and he said, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Listen to what he says, church. Do not be grieved or angry with yourselves. Right? They got nothing to be angry about. He's the one that should be angry. You betrayed me. Look at what he says to them. They're ashamed. Look at what have we done, right? It's come clean. Don't be angry with yourselves because you sold me here. Let's say it together. Is it up on the screen? For God, he did what? For God sent me before you to preserve life. So when he interprets the dream for the cupbearer, what does he say? I've been kidnapped. I don't belong in this prison. Put a good word in for me. Get me out of this place. But then he says, at the end of the story, God sent me here. Do you see what he's saying? Let's keep reading. God sent me before you to preserve life, for the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God, oh, so let's read it again. Come on, everybody. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here. What? What? You know what? I'm just going to be real raw with y'all now. We could all raise our hand and say we've been betrayed by people, right? Come on, man. In the church, outside of the church, don't matter, right? People are people. People do. I've done stupid things. We all do stupid things, right? But, church, I'm seeing stuff starting to come together that I've been waiting on for 20 years. 20 years. And it's starting to click. And I've looked back, and I'm reading this story for the last couple of weeks. I've been reading this story over and over again. I'm going, man, could I shift my perspective to think, you did that to me. Or, no, you didn't send me here. God sent me here. That betrayal was part of the plan. Because Joseph's dream, when he gets to dream, church, he's arrogant and he's cocky and he says, I'm better than you. I'm dad's favorite. God's like, look, the dream's real, but your attitude stinks. The dream's true, but you're not ready for it. I got to break you down a little bit. We got to work on your pride a little bit, work on your arrogance a little bit. We're gonna humble you a little bit. Right? They're not worshiping Joseph because he's better than them. They come and bow down because there's a reconciliation coming. Right? Do you see it, church? I mean, what a massive breach in this family, and God is restoring this family through a crazy, ridiculous circumstance, right? Now, therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord over all his household and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not delay. You shall live in the land of Goshen. You shall be near me. You and your children and your children's children and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. There I will also provide for you, for there are still 5 years of famine to come. And you and your household and all that you have would be impoverished. Behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth which is speaking to you. Now you must tell my father of all my splendor in Egypt and all that you have seen, and you must hurry and bring my father down here. Yeah, I heard a guy preach this story a long time ago now. I was at a conference, and he preached pretty much like I just did. But this is what he says right at the end. He says, here's the kicker about the story of Joseph. It's not even about Joseph. The story of Joseph is about Judah, who is his brother. Because what do we just read? He says, God has sent me here before you to preserve many of your life, to leave a remnant in the land, right? I'm here because if I wasn't here, you would die, right? Church, you got to catch something. Jesus comes not through the line of Joseph, but through the line of Judah. Judah is who's got to stay alive in the famine because it's through Judah that Jesus comes. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the whole story of Joseph, everything Joseph went through was to make sure that Judah made it through the famine. Right? Maybe, I said this already, but maybe what I'm going through ain't even about me. Maybe what I'm going through, all the battles and all the fighting and all this stuff, all the discouragement, all the tears at night when I don't feel like keeping going, when I just want to give up and want to punch out, I'm done, man. I'm done with this. I signed up for this garbage. God says, man, it's not about you, bro. Maybe everything you're suffering, everything you've gone through, everything that all the garbage, all the betrayals, all this stuff, he's saying, imagine the day that Judah walks into the door and you realize, like, oh my goodness, man, everything that I've gone through is to save that thing. It's to save that person. Come on, church. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, man? That one son that comes back, oh yes, it's worth it. Who cares if it was 50 years, man? That daughter comes back. It's like, it's worth it. I don't care how much I cried. I don't care how bad it hurt. It doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters when I see the dream that God gave me come to pass. Right? Just hang on, man. Look for the kindness of God, even if you're in prison. Yeah? Okay, let's stand up. Father, in Jesus' name, I know you're shifting something in this house, God. You're shifting. I got a word this week, church, from a friend of mine. He said this. He was praying here. And he said, listen, man, just receive this if it makes sense. But he said, look, I just really felt like the Lord was showing me that River Valley has become too like a defensive mindset, right? Like we're on the defense, right? Like we're trying to keep what we got, you know. And when we look out, all we see is like, oh, there's a demon, there's a devil, like everything's bad, right? And he said, but I felt like the Lord's saying it's time to shift your mindset and go on the offense. Time to take some ground. Right? It's time to stop trying to just maintain what we got and start pushing back against the enemy. When Peter realizes that Jesus is the Christ, right, that whole conversation, right? Who do you say? And Peter says, you are the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Jesus says, yes, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Church, you know what it's saying? It's not saying that the gates of hell are coming against the church. It's saying that the church is going to push against the gates of hell, and the gates of hell are not going to be able to stay shut. It's saying the church is going to advance into darkness. The church, us, we are the church, man. We're going to push back against the enemy. We're going to push into people that are broken, marriages that are falling apart, people that are hopeless and broken. And God's saying, I am going to send you into these situations, and you're going to go in there with life and hope and joy. It's time to start rising up. You're not here to make it. You're here to make a difference. Yeah? So, Father, we come to you this morning. Forgive us for being so selfish. Man. We can be so selfish, church, can't we? Come on, man. I'm just being honest with y'all. We get so focused on what we got and we're just trying to make it. God's saying, son, that is not what I've called you to be. I've called you to get out there and make a difference. And we don't got to be weird and religious and weird about it. Come on, man, just be you. Be who I've made you to be. Get out there and be kind to people. Show them there's a different way to live life. Yes. Amen? So, Lord, we ask that right now, let's lift our hands to the Lord right now, church. Let's just lift our hands to Jesus. Lord, we just ask for an anointing right now. Help us to get over ourselves, Lord. And I know there's some folks right here. I know for a fact folks going through some stuff. It's all right to go through your thing, man, but come out of it. Amen? There's a time to mourn, and there's a time to go through some stuff. But that's why we need the body of Christ. That's why we need brothers and sisters, because we can, if I'm down, I got somebody holding my hands up, right? If the Bible says if a man falls and he's got someone with him, he's going to be all right. But woe to the man who falls and there's no one to help him. Why we need each other? Why we need the church? Lord, we receive this thing right now. Help us to be like Joseph, God, where we're not going to get stuck in ourselves, but we're gonna get promoted in our prison, Father. We're gonna rise up, and I don't care what I'm in. I don't care what's going on. I am going to do the best thing I can do in this situation. I'm going to allow the power of God to flow through me. And this situation is going to change because I'm in it. If I'm in it, that means he's in it. Amen. So, Lord, we just love you right now. Help us, oh God. We need you to help us be the sons and daughters you've called us to be. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Let's clap your hands and bless him. Amen. Have an awesome week, you guys. By the way, there is no prayer this Wednesday. There's no prayer this Wednesday because of the Thanksgiving holiday. So that means you can pray at home with your families. Amen. So, guys, we will see you all next Sunday. Have an awesome week. God bless you.